Previously on the Lupe Fuentes Experience.
My favorite music was the Fania All-Star team. Tito Puente, Celia Cruz, Hector Lavoe, Willy Colon, Rubén Blades. The best of the best of like Panama, Central America, New York, all combined in a big old band, you know, and
that's
they made
exactly.
So many great records.
Oh.
That like I grew up, that was my shit.
To the Lupe Fuentes Experience. Today I'm going to be talking with Olivia de Ramos. She's a woman in the tech business. She has an amazing story to share with us, and she is the founder of the Restless Network app. Super inspiring. I cannot wait to dive into it. So let's go. Hello, Olivia.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very good. Very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for having me on.
I am so excited to talk to you. Actually, I was last night doing, you know, some homework on you, and I was reading a little bit about the Restless Network and your story, and I was mesmerized. I really loved the concept, and, you know, it's a really important message that you're conveying to people. So I want you to tell me a little bit about that. It's so cool. I want my followers and people that listen to the show learn a little bit more about the Restless Network and what it's all about. So let's dive into it.
Sure. Well, happy to. And thank you so much for your kind words. So the Restless Network is a new social networking app and digital resource for women. We just had the launch of our kind of 1.0 version of the app a few weeks ago. But before that, we kind of had our MVP out for about a year. And basically, the idea behind Restless is that it's a place where anyone who identifies as a woman can go and talk about really intense issues or even light issues too, and do it in a way that feels vulnerable but also safe, right? So I myself, I'm a Me Too survivor. And when I was going through my difficult experience, which I can get into at some point, I was really isolated and I didn't have anywhere to turn. It actually wasn't even safe for me to talk to my friends or family about it. So I was very, very alone. And so I really didn't want that to be the case for other people. And I couldn't necessarily change my own situation, but I thought that I could create something that could maybe make that experience a little less difficult to deal with. And that ended up being Restless. So whether it's Me Too or a work problem or a difficult relationship or anything else, you can come to the app and really crowdsource other women's experiences and be able to get support. And it's my hope that eventually as we grow, you know, women all over the world, no matter where they are, if they're going through a hard time or a good time, can have a support network in their back pocket. And so they'll never really feel alone.
Oh my God, that is so beautiful. And that's such an important message. I mean, it's so inspiring that after such a traumatic experience that you went through, because I was reading quite a bit about you, that you kind of like use that pain, that trauma into something so positive for the community. I want to know a little bit about you in terms of entrepreneurship and being in tech, because a lot of women in the US, around the world, experience things like this, right? Things like the Me Too movement and abuse, etc. And a lot of those women, you know, don't have the resources or maybe the background to create a platform to help other people, right? So I think that was really cool and really special about your story, that you use it not only to make yourself feel better, but also help others in the same situation. So I want to know, like, where did the entrepreneurship mindset came from?
Oh, that's such a good question. You know, it's funny because I never wanted to be an entrepreneur. I didn't go to school for it. It was actually the last thing that I wanted to do. I have a very risk-averse personality. And so I really didn't naturally take to it. But I think really what ended up happening is that you know, my Me Too experience, it dragged out for so long and it was so difficult that anything else in comparison didn't seem so hard anymore, because I had really felt like I had already been through kind of one of the worst things that could have ever happened to me. And so something that before would have seemed, you know, too much or too intense or too difficult or that I couldn't do it, seemed a lot more realistic. And especially because at a certain point I had to realize that I couldn't change my own situation. I, really could not find the justice that I had originally thought I was going to get. The courts did not protect me. And I hit a wall and I had to think, okay, I can't do this for myself. I can't make this justice happen for me, but what else can I do? And, you know, initially Restless was not this big app with this big concept. It was just kind of an experiment. It originally was like a more of an editorial website with an Instagram. And I thought, okay, I can't even tell anyone what was going on with me. So what if I platformed other women's experiences and other women's stories and voices and what they were going through, which were oftentimes very similar to my experience. And then it evolved into what Restless Network is now. But yeah, it was not something I ever saw in my life. And I think that actually my difficult experience did help me, I don't know, like, really understand that I did have grit and I guess I could do it.
Wow. Yeah. Like you're very strong. You're a very strong person. I'm so inspired by you. Thank you. And I was actually last night, I was signing up on the app and I was just looking around, and I love the fact that a lot of the focus is on mental health, but also on mentorship and helping people become the best version of themselves, which is like my motto for life. So I love it. I love it. It's so cool. I want to dive a little bit into like your background and what was the catalyst for this to happen, for the Restless Network to be born. So what is your story? What was the point that what happened?
Yeah. Yeah. So, Well, it's a long story.
I know that is a difficult. That take your time.
Yeah,
and share as much or as little as you want.
No worries. I mean, I'm totally comfortable talking about it. So yeah, when I was a freshman in college, I was sexually assaulted, and I didn't report it at the time. It took me a few months to get the courage to do it. I was really afraid of what would happen, but once I reported it. And though I won the tribunal, I actually won two tribunals because we had two of them. And though I was found in the right both times, my abuser actually ended up suing me in court for defamation just because I had reported him. And this is not something that I knew could happen to me. It was the reason why I hesitated to report because, you know, I was a college student. I loved my new life. I was excited to be in college and do all the things that you would do. And what ended up happening is for, you know, the majority of my adult life, for a number of years, I was being sued by this person for millions of dollars just because I had said, hey, university, you know, I was sexually assaulted and that's not okay, right? And I did everything that they tell you to do. You know, in the university seminars that you go to when you're a freshman, they always say, tell a close friend after, make a record of it, all of those things. But actually what I ended up getting sued for was because I told a close friend right after the fact. And so it was really horrifying. And I don't think that anybody really in America knows that this can happen to you. And I don't talk about it because I want to dissuade people from reporting, but it's information that people need to know about, right? This is...
No, yes, definitely. It's yeah. So important. And you know what? You're right. Like, especially right now, after the Me Too movement, there are a lot more awareness about come forward, you know, tell the truth, own your story, and you can help other people. But it is so difficult to actually come forward. And you as a survivor and as a... as a role model for coming forward and actually is talking about such a difficult subject, you know, is really my hand down to you. So what happened after that?
Yeah. And so essentially, you know, I had to transfer universities. I moved to England, to a totally new country, just trying to get away from it. Yeah. And I, you know, I was very alone. I didn't know anybody here. I had to lie to people about why I had moved. I just said, oh, I'm really adventurous. And actually, I'm not that adventurous.
Wow. That must have been an identity crisis, super big, not just dealing with the mental, you know, trauma of what happened, but also your whole life changed, like the identity.
And I spent a lot of time trying to feel safe again. And that really kind of goes into, you know, why Restless really puts this big emphasis on a safe space online. Because I think for so many women, you don't feel safe in the real world all the time. And a lot of the time. And that includes, you know, online platforms like Facebook. But I'm getting ahead of myself. And so, you know, eventually I kept waiting for the courts to take my side. I from the beginning, you know, I was like, the truth is on my side. I didn't do anything wrong. And they didn't ever say that. I never got really a resolution. And I was shocked. And I think a lot of people in America and elsewhere in the world learn the hard way, right? Like, the justice system isn't actually set up to protect everyone, right? It's just a few people. And the law in the United States really enables wealthy abusers to come after their victims to silence them. And so eventually I really had to kind of like wake up to that fact. Like, this is my reality. It's not going to change. I'm never going to get peace or empowerment or justice. So what can I do to start feeling okay again? Because I was really not okay. You know, my mental health was suffering. You can't really fit. It's really difficult to finish your degree. Any survivor will know. I mean, it's hard to function. So I thought, okay, let's get creative. Like, let's try to just do anything to feel better. And that ended up being, you know, the first version of Restless, this website, where I really was commissioning articles and posting them and just seeing what happened. And they would be a lot of Me Too articles, but also have other topics, because what I learned through my own experience, right, is, you know, you don't experience like Me Too in a bubble. You experience it in the context of work and in the context of school and your relationships. I mean, and all these questions come up, right? Like, I was dating at the time. Like, I didn't, how do you navigate that? Do you tell the guy that you struggle with PTSD? Like, and, you know, all of these little questions that I think women struggle with and don't have the answers to, whether it's Me Too or totally a completely different topic, I couldn't find those answers. And so it all kind of builds up.
Yeah, because when you go through something like that, where are the resources? And there's so much shame around the subject that it's very difficult to find people that are going to talk to you with a lot of honesty and very openly. So I am so interested about the stories that you have gotten too, you know, after you created the Restless Network, like, what has been some of the most inspiring stories that you have got?
Yeah, I mean, it's really been amazing. For me, I think it's really kind of the little things. I mean, I really thought that if we just had a place where we could go and support each other and talk things out, that it would happen, but I didn't know that it would happen. It was just kind of me guessing at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And really from day one, I mean, what really inspires me is not so much even like the posts, which are vulnerable and beautiful in themselves, but the responses that the other app users are giving back to these women that they don't know, right? It's not like you're helping a friend who you already have a commitment to. Like, you're on Restless Network, which is, I'm really proud of it, honestly. You're helping strangers, right, who you have no obligation to, but you are taking the time out of your day. And, like, there will be, like, paragraphs and paragraphs of responses, and they're really in depth, and they care so much about another person who they will probably never meet, and they'll probably never really have, you know, that much more of contact with them, but they're really given the opportunity to really support another person, not because they have to, but because they want to, and they do it in such a beautiful, empathetic way. And, you know, it's just, it's mind blowing to me. And it's, I'm just so lucky to be able to witness it. And yeah, I'm really proud of it.
What comes to mind when I hear you talk is like, communication and self-expression when healing from trauma. It's so important to talk about. It's key to work through that, through those experiences, to talk about in a safe space. So thank you for creating the Restless Network. Where can we find it? Where can we download the app? Like, how does it work? Is it available for everybody?
Yeah. It's available for everyone. I hate it when apps are like, we're just available on iOS. No, sir, we didn't do that. So you can find it on iOS and Android if you search Restless Network. And also you can find our website at restlessnetwork.com and on Instagram at the same name, Restless Network.
That's so cool. Make sure to subscribe, leave me a review, start rating, and share with your friends on social media using the hashtag Lupe Fuentes Experience. So in terms of trauma and mental health, do you have any suggestions or advice to give women that have gone through similar experiences?
Yeah. I would say keep a journal if you can. Actually, in my experience, I couldn't, because anything that I wrote down or expressed, I actually have to give to the courts. But I did learn that if you can do that, if you can somehow express yourself, even if it's in private, even if no one will ever see it, it does give, you know, a certain sense of relief, right? And I don't really know what the psychological reasons are for that, but it really does help when you can, right? And again, like any type of self-expression is a privilege, right? But I would also say exercise. It really helped me. I really got into a lot of really extreme sports. I don't think you necessarily need to go extreme, but like I kickbox and, you know, that anger, there's a lot of anger. There's a lot of whirling emotions when you're going through something like that. And it really helps to release, especially if you can't talk about it. So yeah, just like looking for, just because, you know, there are some aspects of our lives that we can't change doesn't mean that there are other aspects of our lives that we can work on and actually use to make those difficult things a little bit easier to bear.
So, you know, in my own experience, you know, I have done a few different things in life, and I have had some experiences like this. You know, I have experienced things with the Me Too movement, you know, and when I was reading your story last night, I have a really good friend of mine that something very similar happened to her. And I remember when she was going through her case, how hard it was, and how at the end of the case, there was not an apology. There was not, I'm sorry. There was none of that. The only reward that she got was to move forward with her life. And that is such an incredible problem in society, and also in the justice system that we still have, that women are not protected in so many ways, and how can we heal from things like this? For somebody like you that have gone through such a hard experience, not only the trauma of sexual abuse, but also going through a whole legal battle that dragged for years and years, that is really time consuming, that changed your whole life. How long does it take to heal from something like that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, to be honest, I probably am not healed from it now. I think it ended about 6 months after I started Restless, which was 2 years ago. So yeah, it's been a year and a half since it ended. And I still feel very uncomfortable around certain people. Anybody from that time in my life, I have a real trouble with being around, and they're wonderful people. And I caveat this by saying, like, I'm sure some of them will even listen to this, because like, it's not like they did anything wrong, but just anything associated to that university, to that time, I feel sick inside. And so I'm still working on that. But I think what I've learned also through working on Restless and with the different experts that we work with around Me Too and recovering from sexual assault and things like that, is everybody always says, like, the number one piece of advice is, you know, recovery, healing, it's not a linear journey. It's different for everybody. So I do, the one thing that I do that I'm not critical of myself that I'm not quite over it. I would like to be over it, but also I know that it's very normal for that to take time. Yeah.
I love that. I love normalizing working on ourselves for a whole lifetime. Yeah. Right. I love therapy too, by the way. I've been on therapy for like 10 years and I always talk to people and I bond with people on therapy because I'm like, everybody should do therapy. Even if nothing happens, it just helps you so much to like develop and become a better person just altogether.
Yeah, definitely.
I love that. Thank you so much for that. And yeah, recovery is not a straight line. Happiness is not a straight line. Growth is not a straight line. So thank you for reminding us that. Oh my God, I have so many questions that I would like and that I would like to ask you. What are your views between women and what are your views in terms of the relationship between women and social media currently? Mm.
That's a good question. You know, I think that social media has done so much good. I mean, but at the same time, there are some negatives, right? You know, we need this kind of like Wild West social media for our democracy to work. It's been so helpful for self-expression, for all of these things. But at the same time, what we're also seeing now is like, you know, it's gone, sometimes it goes a little bit too far, especially with all of the online abuse that women are experiencing. And sometimes on some platforms and, you know, and you can't say this across the board, but there certainly is this culture of having to be seem very perfect all the time. See, feeling that pressure to never break down, if you are vulnerable, to do it in like an artsy way. And like, you know what I mean? There's a lot of pressure to perform on social media. So I think that those are like the really two keys that women are dealing with that, you know, also Russell strives to fix, right? And a lot of people say, well, also women can be bullies too. And I totally agree with that. Not every woman wants to support other women. And that's certainly true online. And that's why Russell has really strict community guidelines. What I don't think a lot of people realize about social media is that these are all private companies. And so they can refuse service to anybody, anyone they want. So all of these guys, all of these trolls, all of these people saying horrible things who are racist, you know, bigots, all of these terrible things, like they do not need to be on these platforms and they can kick them off, but they choose not to. And I think that is so awful. So that's one of the ways that Russell is different is that, you know, if we see any kind of abuse, any kind of bullying, any kind of harassment, we immediately kick them off. There's no second chances. I'm really proud of that. But it's really funny because I think actually the answers to a lot of the problems that are on these mainstream social media platforms like Facebook and Twitter, they're there. These companies, they have the smartest people in the world, but they don't really want to do it because they don't really care. It sucks.
I think actually, yeah, they choose to not do it because probably it's better for their their numbers business, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So,
and in that way, that's why Restless is different. And I'm such an advocate now for the app. So please go and download it. And let's start the sisterhood on Restless Network.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What is your goal with the platform? What would you like to do if you could do anything? Would you like to get?
Yeah, I mean, I have big dreams and big goals for this platform. I envision it to be at the size of a company like Reddit or Bumble. And actually, recently we started to do our first we've had some very tentative talks with some fundraisers, and a lot of people have said, "Oh, well, you know, you're doing so well now. Why do you have to scale? Why do you want to scale?" And it's really for the simple reason that, though we have a great community now and it's so beautiful having women support you, there's a difference between 5 women supporting you and 1,000 women supporting you. I mean, just imagine that level of love and support and empathy that could be at somebody's fingertips if we could scale this company to that size. I mean, it would be amazing. And so that's really my goal. I want it to be a platform where you can instantaneously, no matter where you are, like you could be in a bathroom stall, you can post on the Restless Network, say, you know, my boyfriend's being a jerk, I don't know how to handle it, does anyone have any advice? And you get like hundreds of messages. And I'll caveat that by saying, you know, we're a super small business now, so we haven't reached that scale yet, but that's the scale that I really am hoping to reach. And I think that we can, but it's going to take a little bit of time.
You know what? I also think that you can, okay, we as women can, and it's needed. It's the research that really is needed in this world. With all the negativity and all the crazy stuff that is going on, we need the support. We need the... another thing that I love, and I have to read this, because I was reading this off the website, and I thought it was so important that I was like, oh, God. The app? Okay. It goes like, Raceless helps build you up and not just convince you to buy products to make you feel good about yourself. I love that. I love that. I also love the fact that Raceless is a source for guidance and self-development. Yes, we all need guidance, mentorship, and self-development. I love that.
Thank you.
So we talk about the Me Too movement, the app, mental health, women. What about men? How can we incorporate the men, or at least a teaching, a message to help them learn too? You know, that there is a lot of new concepts that we're learning in this new era, in this new age. There's so much that we're learning about equality and women and how to make money in different ways, all of these things. So for men, you have so much experience now in the subject, you know, running this platform. What can we teach men to help empower women?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think the main thing is I get a lot of nasty comments from guys, and they're always like, why is it even necessary for a woman's focused platform to exist? Like that's not necessary. And they don't get it. What I always say to them is, you know, look at yourself, like look at how you're talking to me right now. Look at how you talk to other women. And sure. Okay. I know the hashtag. It's like not every man, whatever that hashtag is. Right. Sure, it's not every single guy. There are some great male allies out there, but there are enough men who harass women, who abuse women, to really make something like Restless Network have to exist. In a perfect world, you know, Restless Network wouldn't have to exist, but we don't live in that world. And I think instead of constantly questioning why women have to modify our behavior, why we don't report, why we do all these things, why we create the Restless Network, why we go to the Restless Network, maybe look at yourself, right? Like have these guys really do some introspection. I don't think that there is enough introspection going on with men, especially men who live on the internet.
I totally agree. What do you think is a good resource for men to, for grown-ass men, learn how to respect and treat women in a more equal way?
You know, I've heard of some really interesting organizations that are out to advocate specifically to men, you know, raising awareness around Me Too issues, raising awareness around consent. And it's funny because I see so much popularity with women when it comes to Me Too discussions. And I don't see that level of interest for these organizations that try to advocate for these types of things to men. It's just not there.
I feel like education is really important.
Yeah, and they do exist. I think it's very interesting because, again, I think it's dangerous to make blanket statements, I will say that. But in my personal experience, what I have noticed is that I think women get really excited to better ourselves, to talk about things, to be in supportive places. I think, you know, yes, the hashtag Women Supporting Women has been like overused. It can be a little bit cheesy, but I think it also signifies how excited we are to actually support women. And I don't see that level of excitement, of interest on the other side of things generally.
It's true.
So it's interesting because they're certainly out there, and all these guys have to do is Google. They're there. I can't think of a name at the top of my head, but it's a quick Google and it's at their fingertips. But yeah,
well, you're gonna share it with me and I'm gonna put it into the description for all of the men that would like to learn a little bit more about, like, you know, what is really like to be a woman and all the struggles. Maybe they can learn something about it, about us.
Absolutely.
I mean, there are so many questions I have about the app, and we could be here forever because I love talking to you. But, okay, so is there anything that I missed? Is there anything that you would like to share? You know, is there anything that you would like to promote?
Well, I think we covered a lot of really great ground. Thanks for giving me this time. But no, just, you know, download the app and get on Restless Network. I will, I like to tell people up front, we're doing social media differently. So don't be surprised when you log on. We ask you to verify yourself because it's one of the many things we do to keep our users safe and have it be a really supportive community for your free of trolls and bots and things like that. So yeah, if you're curious what a better social media experience is like, come and find out.
The Restless Network is made for women by women. It's a safe space to talk about all taboo subjects and to find friendships and gain support. So make sure to sign up, download the app. I am part of it. I love it. Thank you for creating it. And thank you for the time and the space and the knowledge.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been so fun.
What a pleasure. Make sure to subscribe, leave me a review, start rating, and share with your friends on social media using the hashtag LupeFuentesExperience. I see you next time.